Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Football is football no matter where you play it. You got grass, you got cleats, and you got helmets with masks on them.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
The big thing for all of us is building off of last week's division win, and it makes it easier to have the belief in your players and coaches to be able to bounce back. It's led to making a decision to move with Justin as a starter.
Emanating live from the downtown studios of WGN Radio.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
My parents were actually at my house last night. I told them they wanted to go out to celebrate, and I told them, nah, I'm cool because I'm going to win this week.
Here's your host, Kevin Powell.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
All right, no more arguing, no more debating about who should be the Bears' starting quarterback. Should it be Dalton? Should it be Fields? We now know it is Justin Fields' time. He is QB1. That's the big news out of Hallis Hall this week. I'm Kevin Powell. This is episode 10 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. Thank you for listening. On this week's pod, it's Dave Bennett. A lot of pressure. My boss, WGN Radio Sports Director, voice of the Northwestern Wildcats. Might even ask him a couple Cats questions as well. But we will talk about the Fields news and talk about the Bears-Raiders matchup in Las Vegas. As for the decision-making from Matt Nagy and the Bears coaching staff to go with Fields, here's what Nagy had to say.
I've always said from the beginning to everybody in here, to our players, coaches, to y'all when y'all ask, is that we'll know. And he's done everything to show us that he's ready for this opportunity.
And a lot of talk this week at Hallis Hall was about calm. Justin Fields is calm. Fields talked about it after the Lions game, talking about how Bill Lazor's voice sending in the plays is calm and how much different it is than Matt Nagy, who would be on the sideline. And now Nagy, even he said that like he can focus on all three phases of the game. Offense, defense, special teams. And he looked a lot different on the sideline. He did in that Lions game. He was into it. He's cheering the defense on. He didn't have his face buried into his play card. It was just different. Here's what Justin Fields had to say about Bill Lazor's play calling from the box during that Lions game.
Bill, he's up in the box, so his voice is always calm. That's the one thing I like. You know, coach, it's harder for him to be calm when he has to focus on the defense, focus on special teams. So, his voice is calm. He's up there in the box seeing the field well, and he did a great job calling plays today.
So again, calm is what we kept hearing. Here's what tight end Cole Kmet had to say about Fields' demeanor on the field.
He's been really calm and poised out there. I said that before, and you know, he's just kind of the same guy. You know, no matter what's happening, you know, it was interesting to see him, you know, in Cleveland the way he was acting in the huddle and the way he was acting in the huddle last week. And you know, it's similar, it's the same, and you know, it's really it's calming for all the other guys out there as well.
So although this isn't Justin Fields' first start for the Bears, it does kind of feel like a new era of Chicago Bears football where we do know now that this is Justin Fields' time. They're not playing around with the depth chart. It's not Andy Dalton going in if Fields doesn't play well. The development starts now. The ups and downs of Justin Fields' career. We don't have to worry about Dalton being sent in unless things go really, really bad. But I think other than barring an injury, it is Justin Fields' time moving forward. And it's a tough stretch here that he's entering. 6 weeks of some really good teams, beginning with the Raiders, who are coming off their first loss of the season. But it does feel like a fresh era of Chicago Bears football, and I know everybody's excited about Fields. I think he's going to be a great quarterback in the NFL. Hopefully it's 10-plus years with the Chicago Bears, and there's championships and multiple playoff runs. I know that's where a lot of our minds are going, and they should. This guy has a skill set unlike a lot of quarterbacks, right? I mean, he can essentially make all the throws. The explosive plays were lacking under Matt Nagy over the past few years. We saw a few throws from Justin Fields in that Lions victory that I haven't seen a Bears quarterback make in a long time at Soldier Field. I mean, hitting a receiver downfield in stride with Darnell Mooney, a 64-yard gain, we don't see that very often from Bears quarterbacks. So it is the Justin Fields era. Here's my conversation with Dave Bennett. Now joining me on the podcast is my boss, WGN Radio Sports Director Dave Bennett, voice of the Northwestern Wildcats. Dave, appreciate you jumping on the podcast.
I just want you to make it clear that you are not having me on via command. This was something you volunteered to do.
I have been thinking about when should I ask Dave to come on the podcast. You're very busy this time of year. You know what? This is a good week. I reached out and you said yes, so I appreciate it.
Let me. You know, it's a It's a great time of year.
It is. It is so much going on. We've got playoff baseball. Blackhawks Bulls are getting going, and football obviously in full swing. Let me start with this first question, Dave. Were you surprised when Matt Nagy came out and said, "You know what? We're not sticking with Andy Dalton. It is Justin Fields' time." How surprised were you, or did you kind of anticipate that coming?
Well, I thought it might come at some point, but a little surprised, yeah, Kevin, only because of the timing of it. I think after 2 days earlier saying that, well, we'll see how Andy is and evaluate his health and then kind of see where we are, I didn't necessarily expect that 48 hours later they'd be proclaiming that this is now Justin Fields' team. But to be honest with you, I was pleasantly surprised to hear it. I think that based on what we saw last week, and again, it's a relatively small sample size, two starts, one against a team that isn't there yet. I think there are going to be some bumps along the way, but I think based on what we saw Sunday against Detroit, I think it's warranted, and I think it's a positive step for the future for this team.
It does sort of feel like a new era, right? I mean, I know it's not going to be Fields' first start on Sunday against the Raiders, but now that we don't have this, you know, lingering question and all the debates and people hollering about Fields and Matt Nagy clarifying, it does kind of feel like a fresh start for this Bears. I'm not sure if this is going to completely, you know, directly impact the game or if it's a new sense of energy with the team, but it does feel like the official start of Justin Fields' era in Chicago.
You know, and I think where you sense it is when you hear what other players have to say about him. And when you sense not only the confidence, but kind of renewed enthusiasm that some of the other guys have when they talk about him, when they describe his sense of calmness in the huddle, which you don't always get from a young quarterback. And I think when you hear things like that, you think, okay, maybe this was the right time for this, because it maybe invigorates this team with a sense of energy. And look, I don't know that it's going to have a huge impact on their one loss record in 2021, but you can bet that it's going to reap dividends down the road for them, the experience and the lumps that he takes this year. And let's face it, he's going to take some, as all the young quarterbacks do, that down the road, that is going to pay dividends for the team.
You saw plenty of Fields when he was at Ohio State in college, and just, again, the small sample size. But some of those throws he made, Dave, against Detroit, I mean, we haven't seen throws like that from a Bears quarterback. You know, he made three of them in one game. We were lucky to see three of those in one season, typically, from a Bears quarterback. But, you know, connecting with Mooney and then an over-the-shoulder to Mooney and then a strike to Robinson across the field. I think it's the explosive plays that have been lacking under Matt Nagy, and we saw a bunch of them against Detroit, and I think that my guess is that was an eye-opening experience for everybody, including the coaching staff, that said, I think he's ready to at least get some more reps here.
He's got the ability to fit that ball into a very tight window and knows where to put it. He's got that sense that the really good quarterbacks have of where to put it so you're giving your receiver a chance to catch it, but you're not giving the defender the same opportunity. And look, it's a real talent. And there are an awful lot of guys who have strong arms and can throw a football 70 yards in the air or whatever, but they don't necessarily have that sense, that same sense. And I think, look, he played at a very high level, right? I mean, think about the games he's played in the NFL now. Again, it's just a few. But then think of the games he played in college, playing in front of that crowd at the Horseshoe for 2 years, playing in the national championship, playing in the semifinals, his performance against Clemson when you figure the guy's done for the night. He's just been drilled, absolutely drilled in the chest. And you know, not only does he get up, but he throws for, what, six touchdowns. I mean, stuff like that, I think, makes you believe in a guy, makes you believe in his ability, makes you believe in what his potential is looking down the road in the NFL, where you don't look at every college quarterback who might put up gaudy numbers and say, hey, this guy could be the next big thing. But I think with Justin Fields, you kind of feel like, and this has been his story, right, throughout his time playing college football when he was being recruited, and even leading up to the draft. Really, the only time there were negatives about him was before the draft, when all of a sudden his stock seemed to fall, which I think worked out well for the Bears.
Yeah, I mean, for a while there, the general consensus was it was Lawrence and Fields 1 and 2, and could have even maybe been Fields 1. But, you know, that's how the draft works. Things, narratives start getting pushed, and guys slip. And I think it worked out for the Bears. Very lucky. But you mentioned, like, the big play with Fields. And even Allen Robinson talked about it at Hallis Hall this week, about how Fields is always sort of looking for that big play, where he can sense maybe a defensive breakdown, and he's always looking downfield or to make a play with his legs. He does have that that sense to him where he can feel a chance to make a big play, and that's something the Bears' offense has been lacking so much. And I'm glad you mentioned the calmness, because all week at Hallis Hall and really Fields after that Lions game where he looked impressive, he talked about the difference of the play calling from Bill Lazor and Matt Nagy, not necessarily about the plays that were being called, but the actual delivery. He says Bill Lazor's very calm in that box where he's up top, and you know Nagy had been on the sideline, and there's a lot going on for a head coach. I think that factored in too. Like, it clearly he seems to like getting the calls from Bill Lazor.
And you get the sense that Lazor also brings a calmness to it, mm-hmm. and that in turn has allowed Matt Nagy to be a little calmer on the sidelines too, mm-hmm. where, you know, and he's able to focus on some of the other aspects that are going on during the game. I mean, I think the whole thing, we'll know more in a month, right?
Yeah.
But I think to this point, it seems to be a formula that bodes well for them, and they're certainly going to have some mistakes and some ups and downs. But his ability to make those plays, Kevin, you're absolutely right. I saw it in college. Anyone who watched him saw it. And the Bears, I know Trubisky tried, and he was able to move around a little more than a lot of quarterbacks. But this guy, I think, it's a major part of his game, and it's something that will enable the Bears to have that element, that dimension that they really haven't had. And I've been watching the Bears for, I don't want to even say how long, but it's been half a century or thereabouts. And trust me, it hasn't been part of their offense very often. Yeah. And granted, the game has changed where you didn't always need a quarterback to be able to throw the ball into tight spaces from long distances away, or to make plays with their legs. I mean, Bobby Douglas made a lot of plays with his legs, and he could throw a ball through a cement wall. But it was a different game back then, and that wasn't really the job of the quarterback. And now you see it's really important to have that dimension. So I'm excited to see what he can do. I think that this is really just the start. I think fans are excited. They should be excited. I mean, look, if you're not going to get excited about something like this, then why are you bothering to turn on the games on Sundays? Why do you watch the team? It's to see the next big thing to come to your team, to maybe propel them and let them take the next step into the upper echelon in the NFL. And so that's why I think people are excited, and they should be excited.
Yeah, I'm with you, Dave. I mean, it feels there's a different sort of excitement around the Bears. I don't remember this sort of buzz around Trubisky, despite being a second overall pick. Fields just feels different. He does. On the other side of the ball, Dave, defensively, what have been your thoughts? They're getting to the quarterback, which is great. They lead the NFL in sacks. Robert Quinn, Khalil Mack doing their thing. Huge upgrade to get Robert Quinn back to his normal self. He's got 4.5 sacks, already 2.5 more than last year. They're getting some takeaways. They're actually +2 in the turnover differential. What have you seen from the defense and Sean Desai, the new defensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, I think that's been a big thing, Kevin. I think just seeing them putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks. I'll say this, and I know that it's easy to look at aspects of that defense and say, yeah, you know, I'm not sure, but I've watched a lot of NFL football over the first 4+ weeks of the season, and I see a lot of teams that aren't dominant defensively, right? I mean, I think there are a lot of teams. I mean, who would have thought the Seattle Seahawks, that once the legend of Boom would give up, they've given up close to 425 a game like every game, something like that. They're really having trouble stopping opposing teams. And I don't think they're alone. I mean, I think there are a lot of teams that have been traditionally good defensive teams that are struggling. So I'd say, you know, the Bears, is there room for improvement? Sure. But I think for right now, I think that they seem to be getting the most out of their defensive line. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is this fragility, I guess you would put it. Some of the guys, you know, now Eddie Goldman played last week, but he hadn't played prior to that. Now you see Akeem Hicks dealing with an injury. Khalil Mack a little dinged up. And when you have some, not real old age, but when you have some guys who are starting to get up there, that's a concern. And I know they've built some depth there, and that's encouraging because I think they're going to need it, especially if this trend of some sort of nagging injuries up front on defense continues.
Yeah, it's a good point about the dominance thing with defense, Dave. It's so difficult for defense in today's NFL when you factor in everything, where a lot of it goes towards the offense and some of these defensive pass interference calls you're seeing. It does make it difficult to be overly dominant, but I think where you can make up for it, to your point, and what we've seen from the Bears is sacks and takeaways and things like that. The Raiders, a high-powered offense. Derek Carr still near the top in passing yards, but coming off one of his worst performances of the season in a loss, the Raiders' first loss of the year. You like the Bears' chances? What do you think? What do you think happens Sunday in Vegas?
I think it's a very tough game for them, just because I think after that loss, and it was a short week for the Rams, or for the Raiders rather, after their loss to the Chargers. But I think that, you know, going home after a loss like that, you know, that place is going to be really juiced. Now, on top of that, I think there's going to be a ton of Bears fans there. I think this has been circled on a lot of Bears fans' calendars for a long time. I mean, how good do you want it, right? You get to see the Bears play in Vegas, turn it into a weekend in October. And that's not a bad deal. So I would imagine the atmosphere is going to be really highly charged in Allegiant Stadium on Sunday. I think it's going to be a much better showing by the Bears than they showed in their first road game at Cleveland. That said, I still think it's a tough matchup. I've watched the Raiders a few times now. Certainly their first game was crazy, that overtime game. And I think that they're well coached. I think it's going to be interesting. They're going to put a lot of heat on Justin Fields. So we'll see in a really hostile environment what kind of plays he can come up with, and can he take the next step after really struggling in his first game, and will this offensive line protect him better than they did in Cleveland? They certainly did last week, but I think they're facing a much better team than they faced last week at home against Detroit.
All right, Dave, I got to ask you at least one Northwestern football question. They're coming off a tough one at Nebraska, got some time, a week off, and then they return home against Rutgers for homecoming. What have you seen from the Cats? I know there's been some injuries here and there, but that was a tough one at Nebraska last week, Dave.
Well, it was one of the tougher ones that I've called in a long time, Kevin. And, you know, if you look at both their road games this year, they've just gotten off to terrible starts. And really, if you look at the three games they've lost, to Michigan State, to Duke, and then last week to Nebraska, they give up an explosion play on the opponent's very first play from scrimmage. It happened against Michigan State when Kenneth Walker III went 75 yards for a touchdown. It happened against Duke, a long pass play on Duke's first play from scrimmage to set up a score. And then last week, that happened to him again. You know, I think they're better than they've shown so far. You know, I just think that they haven't quite figured things out defensively. I think they've had a lot of missed assignments. They have a new defensive coordinator. Maybe some of it is just kind of getting the communication down. They're going to get better. Their track record is they get better as the season goes along. I hope we see evidence of that against Rutgers in this next game coming up, because if you look around the Big Ten and you look at the Big Ten West, it looks awfully tough this year. And I was convinced that come November, Northwestern is going to be in the mix in that division. And I think they still can be, but they got to get their act together and get it together in a hurry.
All right, well, let's hope that homecoming Rutgers game next week is a get-right game for this team. They can get back to 500. Dave Ennett, you hear him every morning on WGN Radio. Hear him on the Northwestern calls football throughout the season with Ted Albrecht all on WGN Radio. Dave, appreciate you coming on. I was a little nervous, you know, my boss and all that. I didn't want to – a lot of pressure for this one, Dave. I've had 10 episodes so far. I was a little nervous.
No, I think you're doing great, and you know, once I break down the tape, Kevin, I'll let you know how you grade it out, okay?
All right, like a film study after a game, you know, that can be a bit tense. Yeah. All right, thanks, Dave.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
All right, that's going to do it for Episode 10 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. Big thanks to Dave Ennett for joining me. Thanks to Brian Altimer and Ernie Scanton for their help producing the pod as well. I think the Bears get a victory in Las Vegas. I do. I think there's a whole new sense of energy with the Bears, with Justin Fields getting the start. Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn are performing at a high level. Quinn, 4.5 sacks. Mack with 4. Bears lead the NFL with 15 sacks this season. So if they can get to Derek Carr, who's coming off his worst performance of the season, I think they've got a pretty good shot. But I don't know. Maybe this is just me hyped about the Justin Fields news, but I do think the Bears come away with a victory against the Raiders. Look for a post-game pod here on WGNRadio.com or Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts following the game. It's going to be a busy Sunday. Chicago Marathon, Chicago Sky are in the WNBA Finals, Bears in Las Vegas, and then playoff baseball on the South Side Sunday night, White Sox and Astros. Should be a great Sunday of sports for Chicago. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.